The duty captain moved to a window made of bulletproof glass.
What do you got, Charlie?
Transfer to Longford post-trial. There to remain until the end of time.
Yeah, we can only hope, right?
Apparently, Logan had been tried and found guilty in absentia. He certainly hadn't attended any proceedings of that type in the last 2 months. He thought of the promise Knight Commander Williams had made to him several months before. A view of the sunlight before the end of his trial. That had been the deal. Papers were passed over, signed, and passed back again. When all was in order, the group was allowed to proceed through the checkpoint to the final barrier, a thick set of double doors made of reinforced concrete. A lobby, like one found in most modern business buildings, was just beyond the doors, part of the cover the order had set up around the facility. Security guards stationed behind the information booth eyed him curiously as he was marched past, but they knew better than to speak to him. Logan barely gave them a passing glance as his attention was fixed firmly on his destination. A transport bus was waiting outside. The guards didn't hesitate, just hustled him out the doors into the cold February snow and over to the waiting vehicle. The driver opened the bus doors as they approached, so the group didn't have to slow down as they led him up the steps. It wasn't much to look at, just a chair welded to the floor inside a box of bulletproof glass. But the moment that he was shoved into the seat, he felt the bindings that were etched into the walls around him. Bindings designed to keep him from using his powers against those on the other side of the glass. He was like a newborn babe, naked and unprotected from those who might wish him harm. Or so they thought. Two guards stepped inside the box with him and quickly wrapped him in several sets of thick iron chains, which the duty captain then secured with a special set of blessed padlocks. Their job finished, the guards stepped out of the enclosure and closed the door of the box behind them, securing that with a lock as well. Satisfied that all was as it should be, the guards moved several seats forward and sat down facing the front of the bus, their weapons by their sides. The necromancer wanted to laugh at the theatrics. He missed his old nemesis. Had Williams been in charge, he would have been drugged into unconsciousness, bound with silver, and sealed inside a protective circle before they would have even thought about taking him from his cell. This lot was making things far too easy. He glanced out the window at the place where he had just spent the last 6 months of his life. The innocuous little building known to the Order as the Bennington Containment Facility looked more like a public high school than a maximum security prison for offenders of some of the world's worst evils. But that was hardly a surprise. The Templars had had centuries to perfect the art of hiding in the open, and even he had to admit that they did it quite well.
Let's roll!
The first 3 hours passed without incident. Logan had long ago learned the art of sitting patiently, and he practiced that now as he waited for the right time. At first, the guards were tense, constantly looking over their shoulders in his direction, as if he might pull a Harry Houdini and escape from his bonds right before their very eyes. But as time passed, and he remained securely bound, they began to relax. Relaxation eventually turned to boredom, and boredom to complacency. Logan felt them long before seeing them, their presence like a beacon in the night to one with his powers. He prepared himself for what was to come, knowing there would be a moment of vulnerability when the guards might think of opening his cell and shooting him in the head rather than taking the chance that he might escape into the world once more. He didn't expect them to have enough presence of mind to think of it, but better safe than sorry. He focused inward, centering himself and gathering what power he could just in case he would need it. Several moments later, the headlights picked up the first wispy strands of a low-lying fog creeping along the road, but the driver barely noticed. The suddenly changing temperatures at this time of year often caused a bit of ground fog, and he gave it no mind as he continued forward, unaware that in doing so, he'd just committed everyone aboard to the events which were to follow. 100 yards down the road, the fog had risen to cover the wheels of the bus, and the driver was starting to grow a little concerned. It had grown thicker as well as higher, limiting the driver's ability to see any obstacles that might be in the road ahead of him, and he naturally slowed the vehicle down as a result. It never occurred to him to wonder where fog like this had come from on such a cold night. Noting the change in speed, the duty captain came forward and crouched down beside the driver.
What is the delay?
I can't see shit. If I hit something at this speed, we're gonna be in serious trouble.
Better to slow down now than pay for it later.
All right. It's your boss, you know what's best. Just get us there.
I'll do my...
The loss of power meant the steering and brakes reverted to manual control, and the driver suddenly found himself trying to steer a 12-ton behemoth rolling forward at just over 25 miles per hour. To their right was a forest of thick pine. To their left, the yawning mouth of a narrow ravine. The driver did not want a closer look at either. The muscles on his arms stood out as he strained to hold the vehicle on course. He pumped the brakes frantically with both feet in an effort to get the bus to slow down and come to a stop.
Give me a hand!
The duty captain jumped to his aid, grabbing the wheel with both hands and adding his strength to the driver's. Between the two of them, they were able to keep the bus on the road and pointed in the right direction until it slowly ground to a halt several long and tense minutes later. That's when they noticed the fog. No longer content to lie clinging to the ground in slowly drifting pools and eddies, this fog seemed to have a life of its own. It had sprung up like a wall all about them, leaving a clear patch of ground roughly 10 feet on all sides of the bus, so that they seemed to be sitting in a special little clearing of their own. The fog twisted and turned, churning about, and both men would have sworn that they saw faces in its depths. Gray, distorted shapes with black, bottomless holes for eyes and mouths opened wide in silent screams. Movement of a different sort within the depths of the fog became clearer as an individual in a long black robe stepped out in front of the bus, his face hidden in the depths of his hood.
What the hell?
As if in response, the newcomer reached up, grasped the edges of his hood, and pulled it back, revealing his face to the men on the bus.
Sweet Mother Mary!
The coarse black thread that had been used to sew his lips and eyes shut, precautions used to keep him from seeing or speaking in the afterlife, stood out in stark contrast to the light gray coloration of his dead flesh, while the glint of metal in his ears marked where molten silver had been poured into place to keep him from hearing. The living watched as the dead man lifted an arm and pointed at the bus. The duty captain turned his head just in time to see something monstrous emerge from the fog on the right side of the bus. The bus slid sideways for several yards, stopping just inches away from the edge of the embankment. The captain didn't pay attention to the chaos. His gaze was locked on that of the prisoner in the back of the bus, the prisoner who couldn't speak around the gag placed in his mouth. The bus careened over the edge of the embankment.